First of all, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your family background. For instance, do you come from this area?
Yes, I was born in California. We are the first generation, however, born of English parents.
Oh, do you have other relatives then in this area also?
Yes, I have many relatives, many cousins, and immediately I have a brother and a sister.
Are any of them in the legal field?
Yes, my sister was a legal secretary. She began her career as that in my office when I was practicing law. She is only just now retired.
And your brother?
He is a commercial fisherman owning a boat that goes out from San Diego Harbor.
I see. Are any of your relatives lawyers, cousins, or?
Yes. Way back, my great-uncle was a justice of the peace in England. He was not a trained lawyer, however. They don't have to be. Presently, I have a cousin on the East Coast and a cousin on the West Coast who are lawyers, and they are related to me as first cousin once removed because they are children of my first cousins.
Were you educated in California schools then?
Yes.
Did you go to college in this area?
No, I never went to college. After I graduated from high school, I had to go to work. My father died when I was a senior in high school. So I had to earn some money, and then I began studying, and I studied extension courses. Nowadays, they're calling them by various other names, like degrees and things of that sort. Anyway, my degree comes from extension work.
I see. Is this how you prepared yourself for the legal field then also?
Yes.
What, was this through the University of California?
No, LaSalle University.
Was that in San Diego?
No, that's Illinois.
I see.
There were no schools here at the time. You know, I couldn't have gone to school.
Mm-hmm. There were no law schools?
No, there was the Balboa, which came along a little bit later, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent years, that became part of the Cal Western campus.
Mm-hmm. Was this a common way of doing it then?
Yes.
What period was this? What year was?
Prior to the Depression, late 20s.
I see. Have you always been a lawyer, or have you had other?
No, I've had other work. I was a deputy county clerk here for almost 15 years. In charge of naturalization and passport work. And before that, I was in a title company here, doing title law examinations. Mm-hmm. All of these things, you see, are geared toward legal mm-hmm. work.
Have you ever had time for any civic or volunteer work?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Done a great deal. When I was in private practice, I was on the State Bar Committee of Adoptions when it was first formed. And locally, I chaired the first committee on adoptions, which attempted to get together the various groups, doctors, lawyers, adoption agencies, and so forth, to formulate better adoption practices. And of course, we aimed at legislation. We were responsible for getting through the legislation which permitted the county to become an adoption agency, which was a big step forward.
Did you say this was through the state bar?
Yes, and the San Diego Bar Association.
Have you ever had any other kind of civic or like women League of Women Voters?
No, I've never belonged to the League of Women Voters. I am active in the Amtrista Club of San Diego. I'm an honorary member at this time.
Well, could you tell me a little bit about what the Altrusa Club is?
Yes, it was formed in 1917 in the South, and it's formed of executive and professional women. And more than 50% of your income must come from your business or profession.
Do they limit the number of each profession,
yes,
similar to the Rotary Club method?
I think it's 10%.
So they would only allow so many people, attorneys, and so many librarians, and
yes,
so many nurses.
Yes.
What kind of work? You said it was a service organization?
Yes, it's a women's service club.
What kind of community services did they try? try to accomplish?
Well, we've done a great deal in scholarship fields. And I can't offhand think of other things. Some work in traffic and traffic regulations and education, for instance. We were very active when the seat belts first came in. We had a program for educating the people on that.
Being a women's organization, did they try or attempt to help the women more than men? Did they, like the scholarships, did they go to women only?
I believe they did. We also are very active in educating students from other countries in postgraduate work. We've had a great many foreign students throughout the United States.
You offer scholarships to them so that they're available? When did you become an attorney?
In 1933.
And you had to pass the state bar,
yes,
similar to
yes.
the one they're giving now?
Yes. Yes, it was very difficult then, and it is now too.
There's been some talk of maybe changing it or making it a little easier. What are your opinions on this?
I don't think they will.
Do you think they should?
No.
What motivated you to become an attorney?
I don't think I know, really. I've always had an inclination toward legal matters. I never thought about it in high school. It was after I graduated from high school.
Was it perhaps the relatives in your family?
No, no, it wasn't.
How long did you work as a county, a deputy county clerk before you started your legal education?
Oh, I began reading law long before I was a deputy county clerk. I was in the title company. Perhaps that's what interested me, tracing titles and the legality of documents and this and that. But anyway, I began there. And then when I went to the county clerk's office, I continued my legal studies, and I was a deputy county clerk when I passed the bar exam.
I see. Did you find it extremely hard to study and to have a full-time job also?
Yes. Very, very hard. I got up early in the morning to study before I went to work. And in those days, we worked from 8 till 5 with an hour for lunch. And in those early days, we also worked Saturday morning.
About how many years did it take you to study for the bar then?
About double the time. I think it was about 6 years.
Did you have anyone helping you here in San Diego at all?
Yes, but that came afterward. After I got my degree, I knew that my studies were not sufficient to enable me to take the state bar examination. Marie Herney, a lawyer here, a good friend of mine, still here, of course, coached me for almost a year, private tutoring, which was very important.
So this was after you had finished your work
and got
through
the degree, yes.
LaSalle. Now, LaSalle is an extension type,
yes.
Or a correspondence
yes.
type
yes,
of school.
Yes, you see, and now that's becoming so important all through this country and in England too. But this was in the early days, and it wasn't considered in the same light as it would be now.
You mean?
It was rather looked down upon.
Oh, did you find anyone actually showing prejudice to you because of your degree?
Oh, no. No, not that, but it just wasn't regarded as the top way to acquire a legal education, and perhaps it isn't, I don't know. But if it's the only thing available, you do it.
Do you think it's harder to pass the bar, having had this kind of an education, than going to a regular law school?
I don't think it's sufficient the way it was taught in those days. Because the answering, the mere mechanics of answering their questions is different from that which the bar examiners expect. That's why I took such extensive private tutoring. A lot of it was geared toward how to actually answer a question.
Do you think any prejudice was shown in those days to accepting women in law schools?
No, that was long since accepted.
Were there many women in the legal profession then?
No, 3% of the lawyers. And that's about the same today, only I think it's starting to increase now.
Mm-hmm.
3% of the profession, they're women.
So then you passed your
California bar examination
with the help of your friend, and then what did you do?
I continued to be a deputy county clerk for almost 7 years, because the same year that I was admitted to practice law, I moved up in the office, and I was put in charge of naturalization and passports. And that's a very interesting field, too. In those days, the federal people weren't here, so the county clerk's office was very important in the naturalization field, and I made myself an expert in that. I like passport work, too. That's very interesting and difficult sometimes.
Do you feel you were given this promotion because you did have your...
No. The lady with whom I worked retired.
So you would have received it perhaps anyway.
Oh, yes.
Did they all know in the office that you had passed your state bar?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. But you remember, this was in 1933, and things were pretty bad on the outside.
This was during the Depression.
The heart of it, the very worst of it.
Was San Diego very hard hit in the Depression?
Yes, sure.
Do you think the legal field was especially hard hit?
No, but there were enough lawyers to handle the business. It would have been virtually impossible to have done into private practice in those years.
So you stayed there approximately 5 years, you said?
I think it was either 5 or 7 years longer.
So then around 1940
it was. So that would be 7 years, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
1940 I went into private practice.
Oh, you... as sole practitioner?
No, I went with Marie Honey.
Oh, in a partnership?
No, just sharing the offices, where I stayed for 2 years and learned to do the office routine part of practice, the legwork as we call it. And then I opened my own office and was by myself.
Did she have any other people in with her?
Yes, her brother died. He died very young.
Were there any other women lawyers in San Diego at that time?
Yes. There were about 7 or 8. They weren't all very active. But Marie and I were instrumental in calling the first luncheon meeting of the women lawyers. And there were 8 of us, I think.
Oh, you formed
that luncheon.
Oh, you formed a... No. Organization?
No, not really an organization. We just simply met because we wanted to know each other better.
Do they have something similar today in San Diego?
The new women lawyers now have just formed an organization. I'm not a member of it. I haven't joined. I think they got it going just after I retired.
I see.
But until that time, we met quarterly as women lawyers. We met quarterly just to visit with each other and to talk at lunch, but we didn't have a separate organization, nor did we want one, because we simply regarded ourselves as part of the bar.
It was more a social attempt then, rather than improvement.
Just to get acquainted. But you see, the newer women, there are more women in the profession, are more geared toward women's lib and so forth, and they felt that they should be organized and thus be in a position to do better, I guess, for women. We never felt that.
Did you have any kind of a specialization when you were practicing law?
Yes. Probate and domestic relations and adoptions. I had a tremendous adoption practice because I was so active in the field.
Was it very hard to keep a practice going back in the early 40s?
Yes.
Were there enough clients?
Yeah, well, they were very lean years for me, but I wouldn't have traded them for anything. It began getting better, of course. By the time I went on the court, I was starting to do better.
After you left Marie Herney, then, you went out on your own.
Yes.
As a sole practitioner.
Yes.
And you never took anyone in?
No.
Mm-hmm. You think there was prejudice against women lawyers then?
No, I don't.
You never experienced any?
No. In fact, there's another side to it. I think many people like to have a woman lawyer.
Oh.
In preference to having a man.
Have you had people say this to you?
Yes.
So you feel
it works both ways, you see.
Do you think the women preferred going to the women lawyers?
Not necessarily.
So sometimes the men actually preferred?
Yes.
We hear a lot about over-enrollment in the law schools today, that the law schools have increased the number of students they're accepting and they're turning out too many lawyers. Oh, what is your opinion of this?
I don't really have any because I don't know the facts. I know that the lawyers presently being admitted to practice are finding it difficult to get jobs.
Do you think that's statewide or nationwide or just here in San Diego?
I think from what I have read, it's at least general in California. I don't know about these.
I read recently where there were something like 40,800 members of the California State Bar now. And this was the second largest bar association, the American Bar Association being the only largest one. Does this frighten you? Do you think this is an indication that there are too many lawyers in California?
Well, considering that we're, what, the number one state now? Probably isn't too bad.
So you think all...
I think it all gets leveled out eventually.
You think there might be some areas in California to which these lawyers could go rather
yes,
than metropolitan
but I
areas?
Think that the State Bar has a placement bureau and can advise new lawyers about these things.
So someone passing the State Bar can go to the placement office?
I think so, and find out where the vacancies are or how many lawyers there are in various communities in the state.
Earlier you mentioned that you had been active in some committee on the state bar that had to do with adoptions. Have you been active in any other San Diego County Bar Association activities or state bar? Have you been an officer?
Yes, in the San Diego Bar Association I was the first woman director. You had to run every year. And I held my seat for the 3 years that I was permitted to serve.
What years were these?
That was way back, 45, 46, 47, I think.
Were you then probably the first woman to serve in that capacity?
Yes.
Did you find any difficulties because you were a woman?
No.
No one was antagonistic to
no,
you?
No, they wouldn't be. They were nice to me. Present, there's at least one woman on the board of directors. I think just one.
That's for the county bar.
Yes, that's the county bar.
About how many members are women, would you estimate, in the San Diego County Bar Association?
I don't think the percentage has changed much. It's been 3% during all these years. Now, it may be slightly higher. But it would never be anywhere near 10%.
Did you say you also think it's 3% of the enrollment in the law schools also? That
yes, I think the same percentage.
Do you find this unusual that the women...
No, it's a very hard profession. I think a lot of them don't go in for it.
Do you think it's... hard to be married and to be a woman lawyer?
Well, I don't know that. It doesn't appear to be, because I've known many women lawyers who have homes and families.
Is there a lot of homework to do?
Yes.
Think this might deter some?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think there's any other reason why women might not go into law?
No, unless it can be said that they prefer a security situation to a gamble-type situation.
Is that how you would characterize the law profession?
Well, it's either a feast or a famine, and unless you're willing to take the good with the bad and the low points and the high points, you shouldn't be in it. Many women lawyers get into government service just for that reason, because they have the salaries and the fringe benefits. And there's something to be said for that, too.
What are the opportunities open to someone graduating, just first passing the bar? What types of jobs are there open for a lawyer?
The students generally try to get into the big law firms, and I don't know what salary arrangements are made, or they try to get into the city prosecutor's office and get some courtroom experience in that way.
Are there any special qualifications for this type of job, the city attorney's job, say? Or do they hire many students just passing the bar?
Well, they seem to hire new students. It's pretty rough and ready training, you know. It's a tremendous volume of work, and these kids learn to think on their feet in a big hurry, and are often handed files practically at the courthouse door. So,
are there many women working in the city attorney's office?
They do have them. We've gotten them in there and in the district attorney's office, too. We had to do a little work on that. This group of women lawyers that I said met mainly for social purposes got busy, too, and we realized that the girls weren't getting into the city prosecutor's office or the district attorney's office. So we set up meetings with the people who did the hiring in those offices and sort of laid it on the line, and first thing you know, we do have women in the offices.
Oh, so...
So we did have other purposes besides social purposes. But we worked just to sort of quietly. There wasn't any, beating on doors or anything. We just talked things over.
What about the district attorney's office?
Well, they have women.
They also have women? Did you have to persuade them also, or
yes,
did they?
Yes, we asked Don Killer to come meet with us.
Was there any resistance?
Well, he didn't like women, you see, Don Killer. He didn't want women in his office. That was known to us.
He actually came out and said this, or?
Yes, it was known. I don't think it's a secret.
Did he have any reason?
I don't know.
He never gave the reasons. He just said he didn't.
But at all events, he agreed that he would have to. They have a deputy in the main office now, Marguerite Stein. She's doing very good trial work. And there's a woman up in the Escondido office of the district attorney's office. And I believe there's another now in the San Diego office. So you see, the women are beginning to be represented. And we've had several city prosecutors.
Do they usually make this a career, or is this a stepping stone usually to...
The city prosecutor's office is generally a stepping stone. There's more turnover there. But sometimes in the district attorney's office, because you see here the salaries are pretty high, and there are fringe benefits to civil servants and insurance benefits. So sometimes men stay on there. Several would have stayed on there.
Are any of these women that you mentioned presently working in the district attorney's office, do they have high-level jobs?
Yes. Same as the men.
Did they work up then from the bottom, or did they come into these high-level jobs?
They came into these jobs as the men would come into them. And as the men would be advanced, they would be advanced in the different brackets. No, they've done very well.
Are there many openings now, say in the last couple of years or right now, in either the city attorney's office or the district attorney's
office? No, I'm sure there are not, because I've heard students who have just been admitted to the bar say that they haven't been able to get in.
You think then this might be a result of the over-enrollment in the law school?
Yeah, I suppose it might be. I don't know. Of course, the deputy district attorneys generally come from either private practice where they tried it and decided they prefer prosecuting, or from the city attorney's office where they made good, see, they generally the deputy district attorneys just don't go in from law school to that position.
They have to have some experience.
Yes, I would say that that's probably true. Because they're dealing with a court of general jurisdiction, you see, the superior court mainly.
Let's see, we were discussing the opportunities, I think, available to someone just graduating, and you said that they could go into the city attorney's office, and you had mentioned previously government service. What, would you elaborate a little on this? What would?
Well, I think I was thinking mainly of the tax courts, or there must be other federal government bureaus that hire women. I don't know what they are, but there were a number at one time in the tax court.
They would actually be working for civil service,
yes,
then, is this?
Yes.
And you feel that a lot of women might choose this,
yes,
as a way. What other opportunities are there?
Well, going into private practice, which is rather tough. It's rather tough, I think, to break into private practice, but it has to be done.
Do some actually do it right from the beginning?
Yes.
Right after,
yes,
they pass the bar? Do you know of any women here presently practicing in San Diego who have made it this way?
You mean in recent years?
Right. Either.
There is a law firm of women here who were all relatively inexperienced. They knew each other at law school and they formed a partnership.
Oh, what law school did they attend?
I'm not sure. I think the local one, Cal Western.
Hmm. Are they doing all right?
I understand they are. I think their office is up in Claremont.
I've heard recently talk about the advocates. Do you know anything about this group?
Not very much. I think they're defending in criminal cases and civil rights matters.
How do they differ from a regular law firm? Do they have a different purpose? Or?
Well, I imagine they're geared toward defense work. It's possible now, you know, for lawyers to incorporate, and doctors too, professional groups. So there are a lot of legal corporations here now that are composed of lawyers. I think there's some benefits. I don't know what they are. Presumably it's easier book work, and also the corporation can provide insurance for its members and things like that.
How long were you a judge?
18 years.
When were you appointed?
1953.
Let's see, who was
the end of 53.
Who was the governor?
Governor Knight appointed me. I was his second appointment.
What are the qualifications for becoming a judge?
You must have practiced law for 5 years before you can be a municipal court judge and 10 years before you can be a superior court judge.
These are the legal qualifications, I suppose. What would you say the personal qualifications are that a judge should have?
I think the ability to listen well, because that's what you're going to be doing. And after you've listened well, the ability to determine which side being presented to you is correct legally. And to remain, of course, objective throughout.
Do you think women are as well qualified in these aspects as men are?
Yes, I don't see why not. I think it has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with temperament.
How does one become a judge? I know you're appointed by the governor, but how do the wheels start turning?
You're appointed by the governor only where there is a present vacancy existing. If the... when would you have a case when you... I suppose if the legislature provided for the office and it was to start in a certain year, you might go before the electorate. No, I don't think it works that way, come to think about it. I think initially it would all be appointed. But the wheels, you asked about the wheels. you make it known to your friends, and you ask your friends and any clubs that you belong to write to the governor. And you yourself have already written to the governor and told him you'd like to be considered for the position.
So you yourself initiate.
Yes, and then of course he's going to refer it to the state bar to see whether there's any objection to you. And in Governor Reagan's case, he has a local committee also screening the local applicant.
You mean a group of attorneys here in San Diego?
Yes, it's just a small committee, as I understand, but it's not. The members are not supposed to be known to the public or to the bar. But they would make their own private investigation, presumably write to the governor.
Does the San Diego County Bar have any say in it?
Used to be that they took plebiscites, but the plebiscite situation seems to have gone by the board in recent years because the governors weren't paying any attention to the plebiscites anyway.
Now, would you just elaborate a little on the plebiscites?
Yes, the local bar would get out a ballot saying, you know, giving the names of the different members who wish to be considered for the judgeship. And you were asked, as a member of the bar, to vote on it.
The whole bar, the whole membership then had
voted. Then the results of that vote were sent to the governor, which seems to me a rather powerful force, and with a great many local lawyers thought that one certain person would be the best. I should think a governor would be governed by that, too.
But you said this didn't...
No, they weren't paying much attention to the plebiscites, and other people got appointed, I suppose, for various reasons. Pull or something.
Was this plebiscite situation used all through the state, or was that just unique?
I don't know whether it was... I don't know as to that. I imagine it was a general practice throughout the state among the various bar associations.
Is Reagan then the first governor to have appointed a select committee?
Yes, this was his idea.
Why doesn't the membership be publicized? Why aren't their names to be known?
Because there would be too much pressure put upon them. My friends or enemies alike.
You said their names were not supposed to be known. Do you think that they are known?
Yes, I think it is. It gets out.
How long is this committee appointed for?
I don't know.
Did you know of any of the members?
Yes. Not of course, when I was appointed, because it was not in existence then.
Were they using the plebiscite
come to think about it, there was not a plebiscite when I was appointed. I don't know why. Maybe the bar sometimes did it and sometimes not. I don't know.
So you submitted your name to Governor Knight, and then you asked friends and acquaintances or colleagues?
I couldn't bring myself to do that, really. So it wasn't done, but a great many letters were sent in.
So you never made it known, you mean, to many people?
Oh, yes, I made it known. The lawyers in the San Diego Trust and Savings Building had a round table where we had lunch over at Manning's every day in those days. And it was the men at that round table who wanted me to run for judge.
You mean they suggested it?
Yes, and also the Business and Professional Women's Clubs. I was a member, too, of one of those. And they had a list of women who would agree to be considered for appointed offices. And they had asked me some years before, and I had allowed my name to be put down. But there were no vacancies, you see, and I went on happily practicing law, and by the time there was a vacancy, I wasn't at all sure that I wanted to give up the private practice. But it was the men who were my best friends at that table.
Is this really why you finally decided then to...
Yes, and because I had agreed with the Business and Professional Women's Club to be considered.
What year was this?
1933.
When you were appointed...
No, wait a minute. That was 1953. 53 when Judge Molina died.
That was the vacancy then that you filled?
Yes, I did. You now fill it to the next election, you see.
Now, this was on the municipal court. Do you have a choice between, when you submit your name, do you ask for the municipal court or the superior court?
Well, you're generally going for a specific vacancy.
I see. You don't submit your name then unless there is a
vacancy.
Had you considered waiting for a vacancy on the superior court?
No.
So it was your preference to have
it? Well, I hadn't thought anything about it. I suppose if a vacancy had come up in the superior court, it would have been different, but it didn't come up.
Is there much difference between being a judge in the superior court or the municipal court?
No. Not as far as the work is concerned. Municipal court is a court of limited jurisdiction, and the superior court is an unlimited jurisdiction court.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, the municipal court does only certain things. For instance, in civil cases, we try civil cases involving $5,000 or less. That's our limited jurisdiction. In small claims, which is also civil work, the jurisdiction now, I don't know what it is right now, it went up, I think, to $300 before I left, but when I went on the court, it was $25 in small claims all those years ago. And in the criminal field, we tried all the misdemeanors, and in the felony field, we did the preliminary hearings to see if there was evidence to hold them for trial in superior court. Those are the things the municipal courts do.
I see.
And the superior court handle any amount of claims in civil matters from the 5,000 on, you see. They try the felonies. They have exclusive jurisdiction in divorce matters, now called dissolutions, probates, insanity matters. We don't have any of that.
Do you think it's better for a judge to have had a prosecution background or a defense background, or doesn't it really matter?
I don't think it matters, because I think professional honesty comes into it.
They don't take this into consideration then when appointing?
Yes, they might. They might be a little fearful of one or the other.
Do you think there is a preference then to appoint?
I think there might be on the part of the appointing power, but I think it's a mistake.
Which one do you think they would prefer?
Well, obviously a man like Governor Reagan would prefer the prosecution-minded judges.
Have you noticed the pattern in those that he has appointed recently? Do they seem to be running to this pattern?
I'm inclined to think so.
How many judges in San Diego County has Reagan himself appointed?
I don't know. But I think it's such a mistake, because the minute you're on the court, you know, you are mainly interested in doing the right thing. You're listening. You're weighing. You don't really think to yourself, I'm going to nail this defendant, or I'm going to let this defendant off come what may. I can't believe that any judge would think in those terms.
How long is the appointment for?
Until the next election.
And then?
Generally speaking, until the next election. There are some, I won't go into it here, but there are some instances where it doesn't quite work that way. But in the long run, you have to face the electorate at an election which will be held soon.
Like the gubernatorial election?
Yes.
So it would be every 4 years then?
Well, we have a 6-year term under the law.
I see. So your appointment is only until the next election, whenever that happens.
Yes.
To be, so some appointments might be for 1 or 2 years, or some might
mine was for something like 2.5 years. I think I had 2.5 left on the term. I believe the Superior Court judges are only appointed to the next election, you see, but we were appointed to fill out a certain term, the deceased person's term, no matter how long that had to run. I don't know whether that's now presently changed or not, but that was the way it was.
And then your name appears on the next ballot.
It did then. There's also been a change of law in that, and if you do not have any opposition these days, your name does not appear on the ballot at all.
Oh, do you think this is a good thing?
Yes, the judges were in favor of it. It saves a lot of counting, a lot of unnecessary counting.
Do judges ever have opposition? I don't recall
ever seeing them. Very seldom.
Is that unique here to San Diego, or do you think that's the situation throughout the state?
Well, in Los Angeles there have been some contests, but in general I would say that there are not many contests.
Does this sometimes become awkward for the person running against an incumbent judge if he should lose?
No, I don't think so.
Have there been any situations that you can recall in L.A. where this, where the incumbent judge did lose?
Yes, I think there was one just 2 or 3 years ago. I forget the judge's name now, but he lost out. The people did not like some certain decision that he made, and they upset him.
Can a judge be recalled?
Yes, I suppose so. Well, I don't know if you'd call it being recalled, but you enter a complaint with the Judicial Council of the State of California.
Has this ever happened to any judge that you can recall?
They tried to do it to Judge Stevens in Oceanside, but the Supreme Court, which sits as an appeal in these matters, overruled the Judicial Council. So they did not unseat Judge Stevens. I think that's the only incidence that I know of in San Diego. But in Los Angeles, as I understand it, there were one or two resignations on the parts of judges when they received a letter asking them to report to the Judicial Council rather than go forward with any kind of defense to the charges against them. They preferred to resign.
Would you like to see more opposition, not opposition, but more competition? Would you like to see other people running against the judges?
No.
You think it's a good...
That's a self-serving statement, isn't it?
Well, I'm coming to the end of this side of the tape, so I think I will turn it off and turn the tape over.
Mm-hmm.